Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enigdemary. We talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enigdemary. I am a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I am a licensed professional counselor associate. I am owner of Trinity Counseling Services, founder of Women of Strength, and owner of Beautiful and Gracious Bookstore. Everything seems to be in Trinity's for me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you as humbly as we know how. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for keeping us safe. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through this day, please allow us to continue to live and walk in your purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through this broadcast, please touch it. Please allow us to get the education that you want us to have, to be enriched by the information, to receive the value that it offers us, and to be enlightened so much so that we'll be able to share with other individuals. Again, my name is Melissa Enigdemary. I'm out this morning in the pursuit of inexpensive gas in the beautiful city of Burlington as I prepare to get onto the highway to go to Charlotte, the every week trek that I make to my second office, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Many individuals think that when you own a business, that should make you rich. That's not the case. It makes me rich in the individuals that I meet. It makes me rich in the information that I get from the people that I meet. But as far as financially, it's literally impossible to be rich when you're working with individuals who have succumbed to the illness of addiction and alcoholism. It's a little hard. This morning, we are preparing for National Recovery Month for September. We are hosting three events, September 9th, September 12th, and September the 17th. We're hosting the 9th and the 12th. It's going to be in Burlington at Bay Memorial Library. We are going to be showing the film, The Anonymous People. We are going to be offering refreshments and giveaways, and hopefully we will manage to have a panel discussion at the conclusion of the movie. We will hopefully gain the knowledge from the movie that will say what we can do in order to start a recovery community in Burlington. What is a recovery community? What is recovery? Well, anytime that you've ever listened to this program, what information that you gain from it is you have people progress in the disease of addiction and alcoholism if you believe it to be a disease. Some people don't believe it to be a disease. Some people believe it to be just a behavior, and it can be. But for some people, they have a sickness. It is genetic. It is family oriented. It is given to the individual by their blood. If it's not given to them by their blood, then it's given to them by the behaviors that their families exhibit as they're growing up, and so it becomes environmental. But there's a reason why the individuals drink and use the drugs, which then leads to their children drinking and using drugs, which then leads to the children's children drinking and using drugs. And struggling this morning, we were, for one reason. So my daughter desires sprays. When she does things, when she makes accomplishments, she's motivated to do things on her own. But when she does it, she desires for individuals to congratulate her or encourage her based on her accomplishments. And not really sure where she got that from, and I'm not really sure how that's going to pan out as she gets older. I'm trying to help her to work through that, but she, I don't want her to become defeated and to lose hope because of whatever her teacher may be going through that's not working out. I try to explain to her sometimes when people don't feel appreciated or when things don't seem to be going the way that people believe that they should go, life, then they behave and think and feel certain ways, and that'll really help her because, you know, she wants things the way she wants them. But I wanted to try to explain to her that the same way that people drink and use drugs, when they originally start, you know, it might be from the genetics, but when they originally start, they're doing it to serve some need, to receive some type of relief from whatever. Maybe things are boring at home, and so, or maybe things are boring in life, and so it's fun to experiment with alcohol or drugs. Maybe because they've been in a family where it's permissive and everything goes, so maybe the drinking and the using drugs is an answer to that permissiveness by the family that, you know, just kind of take things ever how they are. You can do whatever you want. Or maybe their freedom to choose because they've been in a strict family can go either way. And so because of that strictness, if they were told that they can't do anything, then they try to do everything, and then that creates the everything becomes the experimental. So that relieves that. Or not having any control over their lives, dealing with craziness at home, confusion, chaos at home or and at school and in their life. And so they take control by controlling the amount that they drink, or controlling the amount that they consume. And then that's where the experiment comes from. Or they connect well in their community, friends, and then that creates a reason for them to drink or use, because that is a part of a connection with a larger group. And then just trying to deal with life, you know, it causes you to make decisions. You just want to feel better, so you relieve it that way. And then nothing happens. You know, you don't get addicted immediately, or you might. And so then when you start to continue to relieve those answers to those needs, then it progresses. And so then you might encounter not fitting in at school, but you fit in with the kids that drink or use, or not. Life is getting crazier and crazier at home, so it's better to drink or use, or freedom to make decisions. When you get to college, you know, or when you get out on your own. So you don't go from experimentation to problem area immediately. There are other needs that are created as you grow older. And if you've learned that alcohol and drugs becomes a really good answer, then that's what you do. And that continues until you begin to have issues. And those issues happen different ways. As far as having fun, when you start drinking more, it stops being fun, because you don't even get the effect anymore. It don't affect you the same. You'll try things different, you know. You'll try to connect it with fun situations, but it's just not fun anymore. When the fun is gone, and then you keep drinking, then, you know, that's an issue. When you can no longer make your own decision about drinking or using because you just don't have that choice anymore, the freedom is gone. And then if you no longer have control over the amount you drink, when you drink, who you drink with, how you drink, how much you drink, then your power is gone. And then when you begin to lose people all around you, then the reason that you chose them in the first place, which was to develop those connections, and those connections get broken, and then now that's gone. And so, you know, you continue to not be able to survive life and then that's gone. And but you didn't, you keep using at that point. The suggestion is you probably should quit or find yourself progressing. And I mean, it sounds easy. You go to group, you know, get some information, get some education, you know, learn the detriment of what's going to happen. Learn that indeed that you have a problem. But if you still don't believe it's a problem, if you still think that the problem is outside of you, then you're not going to do that. And the moment that you decide that it is what it is, the alcohol and drugs does not create the answer. It is causing problems in all areas of your life. You got an issue. Once you get there, recovery is possible. Before you get there, it's next to impossible. And you got to honestly admit that that's the issue. And from there, now National Recovery Month creates that awareness, is that recovery is possible. Those needs can be met in better ways. Life can be restored. And everything can happen. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services. We're located at 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 2820-6704-333-2446 is our phone number, or 508 Holly Hill Lane, Burlington, North Carolina, Suite 102E, 27215, area code 336-675-0075 is the phone number. TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com is the website address. MelissaTrinityCounseling@gmail.com is the email address. And you can call in 347-945-5924 if you have any questions about what we're sharing. But National Recovery Month, back to that. So you know how recovery is possible and how that works. SAMHSA, Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, 28 years ago, created a month, not really created a month, but created an opportunity to share with individuals about awareness. They started it because, I guess at that time, 26, 27, 28 years ago, there were a lot of changes that were going on in the world of substance abuse. It hadn't been identified, I guess, as a mental health disorder, or it had been, but it was almost separate. You had psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists that had totally wrapped their head around it. A lot of times they believed that people could just choose not to drink, not to use drugs. And there was a lot of changes in the medical field that was examining, like, the brain and all the effects. And then there was creation of different kind of medication. And they discovered methadone could be used for heroin. Now they discovered Suboxone could be used for oxycodone. And so, you know, the human body and the human mind and human emotion has created a lot of different areas for individuals to. But the fact remains that if it is genetic, you got to stop. And if it is environmental, you still need to stop. And recovery is possible. And as I was sharing with a young man the other day, you don't want to become obsessed with the not drinking. You want to be obsessed with them doing better, making your life better, realizing your purpose. That's why are we here? Why were we even created? Did we forget about the reason that we made it to the earth? While we were even born, he said, God knows us from our mother's womb. Did he have an expectation that when we would be born that we would have to go through that? Well, he knew that was going to happen, but he also gave us a way out. He also told us that we just need to be totally dependent on him, and if he created us and if he allowed us to make it, just like I was talking, and like the whole childbirth, you know, just the being born is a miracle in itself, because the female body, which bleeds every month, almost needs to be tricked when the sperm is introduced. because it it'll want to get rid of it. It's seen as a foreign object. And if a person is able to bear, ever how many times they bear or not bear at all, it's because the body just is not in agreement with it. And that's unfortunate for some want to have it, want to do medical interventions, which tells you that there is possible to receive assistance, but just doing it naturally on its own. The only reason why I know that is because I had two miscarriages. And when I miscarried the first time, I just thought it was a fluke, even though I did carry it for 12 weeks. So what I ventured to guess later is that because I was stressed and had a lot of other things that were going on in my life, then I wouldn't want to be in me either at that time. But then when I lost the second one, at that point I was like, yeah, I need to know what's going on and how it can be fixed. And I went to a doctor, and I was fortunate enough to have the insurance to do that. There's some people that don't have that, but fortunate enough. And then at that moment I learned that, one, my body was misshapen in order to even be able to carry. So it was a miracle that I had two after losing two. And when the first one, I carried her, and then she was born early. Even though it was a hectic situation as I was carrying her, she was born early, and she's doing well now. What I learned from that is that I needed to do things different with my second child, and then I did that. And I did whatever the doctor told me to do, which if I was much younger and a little more rebellious, I would have not done what the doctors told me to do. I'd be like, y'all, that's a fluke. But after experiencing loss quite naturally, I wanted to do things that would protect it. I wanted to be a mother, even though I didn't know the full ramifications of being a mother. I wanted to be a mother, so I was willing to do whatever it would take in order to do that if I was able to get pregnant. And so the same way with recovery, if you determine that there are some losses that have been had by reason of the drinking or the using, then wouldn't you want to listen to someone that is somewhat of an authority of the things that you need to do differently in order to live life on life's terms and in order to get better? And the answer is either yes or no. And you can either take that for what that's worth, or you can say, well, you know, like a preacher, well, they're human. But we are humans. But Paul was a human. Peter was a human. John the Baptist was a human. Any of the prophets, they were all human. But they were inspired by God. And in their humanness, they were inspired by God to deliver a message, which was a way that they were only they were able to do that. So through everything that, and through their humanness, they were able to be used by God in order to fulfill the purpose, which is to bring us closer to Him. And if you think of it that way, if He created us in His image, and if He created us from Him, then quite naturally He would want to bring us closer to Him. He would want to do whatever it takes in order to bring us closer to Him. That's why it says everything works together for the good of those who love God. Even if it's negative stuff, His whole desire is we left. When he came down, he separated himself, he created us, he recreated himself a million, more and more millions of times. And every single one of us on this earth are of his image. And if that is the case, then quite naturally, he would want to bring us as close to him as possible. So if it requires for some of us to have to go through all of the negative things that we go through in order for us to be closer to him, then he doesn't mind to do that, because that needs to happen. The whole goal is closer to him. And so any chaos, any confusion, any hurt, harm, or danger that he doesn't want us to go into, but if it happens, when it happens, we have to think it is to bring us closer to him. And once we get close to him, quite naturally, he doesn't want us to leave and go away again. And so once you enter into recovery, once you make an honest desire for help, then he'll provide that help for you. And if you admit that it's an illness, if it's an illness of the heart, if it's an illness of the mind, if it's an illness of the body, there's help for that also. And so, and then right thinking, that turning around in the thought will help us. And in National Recovery Month, is to let people know that recovery is possible, but here
are the steps in order to get there. And if you say that I have recovered from the things that you have recovered from, then what will happen is then your life will be dramatically different. But you've got to say that. Now, people get to the
fourth step or even the fifth step. When you get to the fourth step, my goodness, there's, I think we talked about that a couple of times, but, you know, there are some really large boulders that must be heavy equipment out of some individual's life. I think I mentioned last week the discovery of what is called the Leviathan, and as I read more about it, pride is one of the stronger of the spirits. Pride and jealousy, they work hand in hand. So if you got an individual that's so caught up in pride, don't want to admit, then they'll end up going to their grave because of it, because they choose not to admit that they are the alcoholics that they are. They are who they are, even though they got all the mental effects, the physical effects, the emotional effects, everything is pointing towards the fact that they are who they are. And because of their pride, they don't want to do that. They don't want to say, you know what, I have lost the ability to maintain control over this little inanimate thing that I've been doing. So I'm just gonna project my anger onto others. I'm just gonna do that because I'm not gonna be okay, and that's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that that's how that happened. But recovery is possible this year. Our stories, our families, our recovery, and it is how we made it through. We will be doing, our event will be September 17th in Charlotte. What we're going to do then is we're going to read the proclamation for National Recovery Month and have some presentations by the different organizations that are valid parts of National Recovery Month. And then in the afternoon, we're going to do a family fun day. We're also going to do a workshop about the families and the family dynamics and family systems and what we can do. And we're going to have entertainment, and refreshments. And then hopefully that is going to be, this will be the 11th year that we've done it. We continue to do it annually every year. And we hope that it will be we know it's going to be a success. We just don't know how. We've got some companies that are helping us out. Publix. We were fortunate enough to receive a gift card from Publix in order to use for our refreshments, and we were fortunate enough for Harris Teeter to donate to us. We have reached out to Walmart and to Food Lion for their assistance as well. We have reached out to Office Depot and to help us with creating some of our flyers. We've got Payless, DWI Payless is going to help us out as far as providing some of the refreshments and some of the swag for our event, for the giveaway for the bags, and just good things. I'm excited about that. Irregardless of what goes on, I just know that God is continuing to bless us and to keep us and to provide for us, and He is continuing to make a way, and we just thank God for the message. It says even when you don't see the message for Sunday, it says even when you don't see it, doesn't appear that God hears you or that He's acting on your behalf. He's doing it. And just have faith and just keep heart and just keep working toward the goals that have been set. As He's right there. He sees everything. He knows everything. It seems like it's taking a long time, or it seems like He just stopped listening. And, you know, but it's the prayers of the righteous. As long as you're just trying to, you know, do what is right, He's there. He's taking care of it. You know, you can have moments where you get frustrated, or moments of weakness,
you know, where you don't make the decision, the right decisions, do the right things that you know that you should do, and you just repent for those and just say, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to do that. I was reacting and not, you know, I was acting and not reacting. I didn't take the time to just take a break and just remember that you are fully capable of handling anything that comes upon us, and just say, God, you know what it is that I need. And as far as in recovery, if you're only a few months or if you're only a few days in the decision not to drink or use, you know, just take heart that it, you know, it'll pass the uncomfortable feeling. If you're 30 days into it, you know, just take heart that even though if you're unconvinced that you're doing things different or things are stressful and you don't really have the benefit of drinking or anything, just take heart that you know, ask God to continue to provide you opportunities to focus and to do the things that you need to do, and he'll take care of all of it. He'll work those things out. And gosh, what else? As far as recovery month goes, this week, that is the setup of it. Hopefully we can invite some of the individuals who are going to participate in the event to sign on and call in and let us know about, you know, who they are and what they do. And we just pray to God that this year, this will be the catalyst for many greater things to come. And then, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to close for my broadcast this morning, we just want to thank you for clarity of mind. We just want to thank you for your continued wisdom in dealing with the situations that come up. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your knowledge. Just want to thank you for your word. We just want to thank you for the opportunity to share in how we want to grow closer to you. And Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your instructions. We want to thank you for the steps that you want us to take in order to do the things that you want us to do. And Heavenly Father, as we go throughout the day, continue to allow us to do what is according to your purpose and continue to bless us and keep us. And Heavenly Father, just keep us safe as we travel home. In Jesus' name we pray. My name is Melissa Enigdy Berry. Talk with Trinity next Thursday, 8 to 8:30. 704-333-2446, 336-675-0075, Melissa, TrinityCounseling@gmail.com, TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com. Have a blessed week in the Lord. Bye-bye.